What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Rantpocalypse Talks Outcast, one of our favorite new TV shows from Skybound, Cinemax, and the creator of The Walking Dead, Mr. Robert Kirkman himself. I'm Justin.
Hey, I'm Kelly, and are you trying to kiss somebody's butt?
Yes.
It kind of sounded like it.
Robert Kirkman.
Yes, you want to be his. That would be awesome. As a matter of fact, you're my favorite person.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, now I'm your favorite person because Robert Kirkman's going to invite me to San Diego Comic-Con and then in turn I'm going to invite you.
I wasn't talking. You're not my favorite person. Robert Kirkman is.
Oh, okay. Hey, if you're going to, I just knocked crap out of my desk. if you're going to have one favorite person, I think Robert Kirkman's a good favorite person to have. One, because he does really cool stuff with zombies and now supernatural stuff that we're talking about with Outcast. And two, he's got a lot of money.
Oh, that's money is good.
Yeah. Money's always nice, kids. It always buys nice things.
At least I've heard that it's a nice thing. I've never owned any.
Yeah, exactly. I've never owned a lot of those monies, but apparently on the TVs they look really nice. So we are about to get into a discussion of season 1, episode 3, All Alone Now. We are continuing our catch-up journey as we try to get caught up to the actual episode that's about to air this week, which is episode 5. So, in the essence of getting right into it, let's talk about it. In this episode, Kyle and Reverend Anderson come up against an unusual possession in the form of another 90s TV show actor, Lee Turgston. How do you pronounce this cat's name?
Dang it. I had it. I wrote it down so that I would remember. And of course, I left that note in the other room. So,
luckily, I have the IMDb's right in front of me. Lee Turgeson.
That's close. That's good enough.
I don't know. Who knows? Only he knows how to pronounce his name because nobody else can do it. It was really nice getting to see him. For me, I fondly remember him from Weird Science. It wasn't a failed TV show. It lasted, I think, for 4 seasons. I loved it. I was in love with the girl that was the creation on Weird Science. In both the movie and TV show, they were both very hot. But Lee was in the TV show version, and I really loved him. He was the asshole brother in that, and he plays a very good asshole for sure. He's kind of a dick.
He can play a very good dick.
He's the dickiest dick that ever dicked.
The dick. You love? No, I don't know. That doesn't sound right. You love to hate? I don't know.
He is the dick that you love to hate. but I stole that line from Killjoys, anybody. So if you thought that was a really funny line, it's because it was, and it was from Killjoys, one of my new favorite TV shows as well. Go check out the podcast. It's just called Rack Rants on iTunes and Stitchers and Google Plays and all that. So get right into it. What did you think about All Alone Now, this episode of Outcast?
Oh, dang. I was kind of hoping you wouldn't ask me that. This was not my favorite.
Well, we think alike on that. This was not my favorite as well. Man, we were on a high. You know, the first two episodes, like balls to the wall. Holy shit. Awesome episodes. And then episode 3.
We're supposed to come up with the top three. I just basically picked 3 things from this show and put it down because I just didn't love this at all. It felt very much like a procedural. If we do this, we could do this week by week, just take out this demon's name and put in another demon's name and there we go.
Yeah, that was very weird about this episode. It did feel very procedural-esque, which is weird because this is something that happens in the comic books, but in the comic books, it didn't feel that way. It didn't feel like I was watching an episode of NYPD Blue and you were catching the bad guy by the end of the episode. Or I guess CSI would probably be a better example because, you know, maybe they had continuing storylines on NYPD Blue. I don't remember them. But this episode didn't blow my socks off all that much compared to these amazing 2 first episodes. For me, probably the number one reason why it did not is because, you know, as everybody knows, as I've got to point out almost every time we do these discussions, it's based off a source material. This is an adaptation of Robert Kirkman's comic book. And for me, when a TV show or a movie is an adaptation of something that's already out there and that is, you know, pretty much for the most part regarded as good to great source material. Like a lot of critics really like Outkast. Obviously, a lot of us regular folks like Outkast. To me, the TV show's its purpose is to enrich the source material. And in this episode, they didn't really enrich the source material because of the way that they changed a few things up with Luke and Blake's relationship. I thought kind of hurt some of those scenes with Blake, because in the comic book, Luke's not an asshole. Like, Luke was a complete dickhole in the beginning of this episode. So you didn't root for him, right?
Okay, wait a minute. Where did you think that Luke was an asshole?
Oh my God. Well, the very beginning scenes. Maybe you need to go back and watch just the opening. Like, okay, in the bowling alley.
Yeah.
In the bowling alley, Luke was such a dick to Blake. Like, Blake's just bowling. You know, he's just trying to have a good time. Obviously, you know, he's got something wrong with him. Who knows if it's diarrhea or it's a demon. You know, it's one of those D words that's wrong with him.
They're both bad.
Yeah, they're both bad. And they're definitely bad when you're trying to bowl because you're moving around a lot. And, you know, that gets the stomach muscles all moving and stuff. But yeah, Luke was a complete dick to him in the opening scene. That wasn't in the comic books.
I didn't see that at all. I mean, I just thought, you know, kind of doing a little trash talking that buddies seem to do. But now I could be wrong. Maybe if I paid a little more attention to that, but
it was a little bit extra. It wasn't the trash talking that friends do to one another. It's the trash talking that wannabe friends, fake friends do to one another.
Yeah.
Like the tearing each other down to look better in front of somebody else. Like, you do that, yes. Especially, you know, I know girlfriends do this, I'm sure, as well, but I definitely know being a dude and my dude friends, we talk mad shit to one another. You know, you would think that we might not be real friends.
Right.
But there's just something about it that's different. Like the way that he was speaking to Blake, he was speaking down to him like he was some loser, and that Luke was the super cop, when yet Blake was the one that was, you know, elected top cop of the year or won some award, whatever it was. But the way that they did that, I felt kind of, it took a little bit away from what ultimately happened with Blake and Luke's wife, Teresa. Like
Terry.
Yes, Teresa in the comic book, sorry. Terry in the show.
And for me, I didn't buy it, the relationship at all, because all it would have taken is, because obviously they've tried to set Blake up numerous times. And immediately he goes into telling this woman that, you know, oh, I just feel so honored because the lonely cow is being nice to me, or lonely fat chick, or whatever he called her, which
she was not fat.
She was not fat. She was very pretty and she was very sweet. And it would take, you wouldn't even make it back to my house to kill me if you acted like that to my friend.
That's very true.
So
yeah, it was very weird. Everything all around with introducing Blake just didn't work for me, as opposed to how it did in the comic book, which is weird too. And another thing that I felt like, you know, when I'm saying they should just be there to enrich the source material, there was also a sense of, in the comic book, you really felt bad for this Luke guy. And you could see, because their first initial meeting is like in a bar and he looks like dog shit. Like he looks like he has been put through the ringer. And the way that they directly went from that scene of which was horrendous, the scene of Blake killing Terry, to basically them coming to the prison, and you just gotta understand that they met off screen, that Rev, right, and, you know, and the cop guy and Luke met off screen. And I didn't feel like that worked as well. Like, I get maybe the writer's room for the TV show is like, that scene doesn't really work out that well.
Yeah, I feel like they should have at least made him look more haggard. He was still extremely good looking. He didn't look like he'd, you know, just lost a lot of sleep about, one, the fact that his wife was murdered, and two, that it was his best friend and cop partner that did it.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. He should have looked more haggard. And yeah, that's why I think they needed some of those additional scenes to where they could set that up, because it made it seem where it had been a little bit longer time that he'd been searching, because even in this episode, he tells them, you know, I've lost everything. You know, I've put my job on the line for this, but you didn't feel like it because no. you didn't see a little bit more of that happening. Like, you know, the down and out ex cop guy that something bad has gone wrong and he's in the bar boozing all the time now. I didn't get that from this character, which is very weird because literally it's only a couple of panels in the comic book. So it's not like, a whole lot of added scenes would have been needed.
Right.
But I think it would have helped the episode overall. So yeah, then I didn't like that. I mean, I just wrote down, you know, the stuff in this episode, Megan stuff was a plus for me. Mark stuff was a plus for me. That added to what you got out of the comics and everything. And then the Rev and Kyle stuff was just it was a plus and a minus. Like it wasn't, it felt very procedural-esque, like uh-huh. you said. But there was still cool stuff that happened between, you know, their interactions.
It seemed very forced, though, to me, their interaction. I liked the line where Reb says to Kyle, Jesus likes the buddy system. I thought that was a cool line. I did like that we get a little hint of some backstory with the Reverend's son when you see the picture and it goes flying out of the window. That was kind of interesting. But again, this wasn't my favorite episode.
I know it's weird. It's weird to go from two like outstanding episodes to, mm-hmm. to kind of a clunker of an episode.
Yeah.
I don't know if everybody feels that way. I did read some reviews, and I think that some of the reviewers were kind of maybe more on board with what we're saying, that it just didn't feel as strong of an episode. That was one of the interesting questions, though. I mean, I wrote down four questions that I thought were, I'm like, what the hell's going on here? That the first one was, what's up with Rev's son? Like, is there something more than the Reverend's son just left his life? Is the Reverend's son actually possessed by a demon?
Right. Like, which would make it more interesting.
It would make it very interesting. That would be crazy because, you know, he called him on the cell phone at the end of the episode or whatever. And it's like, I just need to hear your voice or whatever. Because I don't know what's going on there. He has some kind of strained relationship with his son. That one picture that he's like driving himself nuts.
Like it's the only one.
Yeah. Well, it definitely seemed like it was the only one. I feel bad for the guy. Like I was hurting for him. I mean, that would suck. You know, just think about if you put yourself in those shoes and you know, you haven't seen this person or it's a lost loved one. And,
right.
I mean, granted nowadays it's like, you just go to your Facebook and you're like, oh,
exactly.
there's all those millions of pictures. Cause nobody has actual pictures in their house. I mean, behind me, I have all sorts of random ass.
I do not see a picture of me anywhere.
Do I see a picture of me behind you, punk?
Okay. Well, that's because you got all freaked out. You said, oh, I hate when I see that picture of me in my graduation costume.
That one's not too bad. That one's not as bad as some of the other ones where you can see like the major frosted tips in sync looking hair.
I have those. I will definitely be breaking those out. So
yeah, you can put that one up, like make it like a just big giant size.
Huge. Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure I have a picture of you that I think you told me you would kill me or something if I ever put that up. It was from one of these Google Hangouts or something. And I got it recorded. So you best watch your ass.
All right. Okay.
So in some other questions I had from this episode, why does Chief Giles feel so damn shady? Like, what is going on with him?
It was interesting because the first couple of episodes, I thought, man, this guy's, he's cool. He's just a very laid back cop, you know, kind of down to earth and just going to let Mark do his thing. But now suddenly, I mean, dude is shady.
Yeah.
All get out.
For him to just cock block the shit out of Mark from going to investigate this creepy, creepy ass trailer that we talked about in episode two, I don't get it. He's best friends with the Rev. So, we know from experience right now, and we'll, I'm not going into spoilers, but we'll get more stuff in subsequent episodes. But we don't know who to trust that the Reverend knows. We talked about this last week with the two ladies that were trying to put it down on Reverend Anderson, that they both seem kind of look like they had some kind of, you know, ulterior motive or something. So I'm wondering, is everybody in Reverend Anderson's life bad?
Yeah, is Kyle going to be the only innocent person in all of this? And the thing that was interesting to me about Kyle is he seems so gullible and naive when he's having that confrontation with Blake, and he's saying, do you know me? And Blake's like, well, you know, you're outcast. And I don't know. It's just, he seemed very naive. And I have a feeling, unfortunately, he's not going to stay that way.
Yeah, I hope not. I get that he, you know, he's questioning everything right now.
And I just don't know. I don't want him to lose the what little goodness that he's been allowed to have left in his life. I mean, there's no goodness in his life, obviously. There's nothing happy or joyful in his life. I just mean, he seems like there's still a seed of goodness in him.
Yeah, there's like a twinkle in his eye of he wants to find the goodness in this world because he does want to get things back on track so he can get to Alice and he can get to Amber and be back to being their happy couple that they used to be. And yeah, I don't know how long that's going to last because there's going to be a lot of bad shit that happens in the show. We see something that really, really sucked. That, you know, we do our top three. That was definitely a not top three moment for me, seeing Norval get killed at the end or kill himself. But I don't think that Norval killed himself.
I don't think so either, because and that's like my number one thing was his apparent suicide. And of course, we see that supposedly he's cut his wrist with the straight razor. And the last time we'd seen the straight razor was Sydney. And I don't know if we know his name yet or not, but the dude in...
Somebody's been cheating reading the comic books.
Nope. IMDb.
That's two. One of the two.
Yeah, the man in the hat. We saw him shaving his face with a straight razor. Who uses a straight razor? I don't know. Only really creepy horror movie dudes.
Yeah, or really like old Western badass dudes. I mean,
I guess
I would, if I had used a straight razor, I would have no face anymore.
Oh, you would bleed to death, you know, suicide by shaving.
Yeah. So. Now, granted, I've seen my dad shave, and I don't know if it, you know, I'm not quite old yet. And I'm not saying my dad's old.
Oh, and I'm like, what are you talking about? I knew your dad when he was really, really young. He never used a straight razor.
He didn't use a straight razor, but he just uses a razor.
The single blade.
Well, and he doesn't use shaving gel. Like, it's just...
Your dad is just badass. My God.
He's like John Wayne, Clint Eastwood, like all these badass dudes. Yeah, it's crazy seeing him shave his face, and I mean, it's so loud too. It's like, because it's your hair, you know. He's shaving a beard off, but I couldn't do it. Couldn't use a straight razor. Sydney, he is a badass using that straight razor. But why the hell does he have to have all that damn medicine? Like, he had a lot of pills.
Well, most of it was vitamins. I will say that. Because I know my difference between my pills and my vitamins, because I have a lot of both.
You're like, I've got a degree in those. So.
Exactly. So I don't know. Is he super old?
Well, it is interesting. It feels like almost like a, you know, that these bodies are being inhabited by these demons. Now, we don't know necessarily if Sydney's a demon or not, but he's got something larger to play, some large role to play, and he seems creepy as fuck. And yeah, I think that he's definitely going to turn out to be one of these demons and everything. But it's weird seeing him. I mean, he's hacking up the blood, which it was black, right? Yeah. Or was it bloody? I mean, which blood is not technically red, I guess, right?
Right.
That's once it gets oxygen and everything. So I don't know. I can't wait to find out more about him. Why the hell he's got to have like 50 bazillion vitamins to in order to survive if indeed the devil.
Why would he? Yeah, because I would think the devil, you know, needs no pills except the ones he wants for recreation.
yeah, for sure.
And why did he pick Norval to kill? I mean, what happened there?
I don't know. I mean, other than the fact that Norval is Kyle's neighbor, and we know that this Sydney character seems to have an affinity for Reverend Anderson and Kyle. He's wanting to keep close tabs on them. So
I don't know.
Why couldn't he just buy his house? I mean, shit, you got to go kill Norval.
Right. It just seems like if I was going to hurt Kyle, I could pick a lot of other people to kill.
That's very true. Yeah, I don't know. I hopefully we'll find out in episode 4. That's something I don't know why Norval was killed in this episode. It was pretty shocking at the end. I didn't see that coming at the end of the episode. Didn't see that happening for Norval. I mean, I knew he was going to be a goner.
Did you?
Yeah.
See, I thought he was a major character that was going to stick around because he seemed like he was just that, you know, the nice neighbor that was going to maybe have Kyle's back. And maybe that's why he ended up getting killed, is because, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he was definitely a prying neighbor. So mm-hmm. if he is indeed taken out by Sydney, because, you know, the straight razor was the same one. If that's who took him out, maybe it was because, yeah, that he wants to look in on Kyle, and he can't have this other guy, Norval,
right,
constantly like poking in, you know, because he pissed Kyle off last time whenever Kyle brought his mom home because he was prying in and trying to see what was going on. So maybe that's the only reason. I knew he was a goner. It's something that you don't see. You don't see his body or anything in the comic book. So that was a nice little addition to the show to see the little quite gruesomeness at the end.
Yes.
Okay, so what is your top three really quickly?
Oh, we've already done my top three, really.
Okay, yeah.
Just Kyle asking Blake if he knows him, and Blake saying, you know, outcast. Mark going back to the creepy trailer and finding clues, I guess, and turning it over to Chief Giles, and Chief Giles going, oh, yeah, I got this. I'll take care of that for you. And then Norval being killed. So top three right there. What about yours?
My top three, you talked about one of them at the top. Jesus likes the buddy system. I love that line. I like when Reverend Anderson, he simplifies it very nicely for you, because, you know, if you were to really read Mark chapter 6, verse 7, it says, calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. I mean, I get the two by two thing, but, you know, I wouldn't have been like, Jesus likes the buddy system.
See, that's one of the things that I can read the Bible. I come up with nothing.
It takes
somebody that has a gift mm-hmm. to be able to bottom line it for me.
Very true. Very true. And Reverend Anderson's very good at that. I loved when Blake mocked Reverend Anderson. I like the conflict that the Rev has within him. I think that makes his character very interesting, because you see Blake calling him out in this episode saying, you know, what the hell are you even here for? You don't have the power. You're the true believer, but God doesn't, you know, give you these gifts like he gives Kyle, who doesn't believe in anything at this point. So I like that internal struggle, seeing that on the screen.
It was from his character. So interesting to see the Reverend, you know, he's got the cross on Blake's head. And I mean, he's trying really, really hard to cast those demons out by, like, if he pushes down hard enough, it's going to go away. And you can see that he's just struggling, and he's, I could see that there could be some conflict between Kyle and the Reverend, because the Reverend could be a little jealous.
Yeah. I think that's definitely something I see could happen in the next couple of episodes, because right now, yeah, he is jealous. There's no doubt about it that I'm sure that he's jealous, but I think he's able to rein it in because Kyle's helping him on the crusade. But you could see their paths diverge at some point whenever Reverend Anderson's like, you know, F you, man.
Yeah.
Why do you get all these gifts? It's just like the, you know, if you're growing up with a kid and they're playing sports together, and one suddenly becomes like this badass, and they were on equal footing when they were younger, and then, you know, you're always going to feel like some little hint of jealousy because you were maybe just as good at one point or something like that. And Reverend Anderson has been fighting these demons for a while.
It's a sin, though, for him to be jealous.
That's very true. And he is the Rev. so mm-hmm. he shouldn't be sinning.
Right.
But I think he drops a lot of F-bombs.
And the picture goes flying out of the window of his car, and he's in the field, and he's, you know, GD it, you know, yeah, and I'm exactly. like, okay.
Favorite reverend ever. Best, yeah. the best reverend, because, I mean, come on, people. I like reverends, and I like preachers and priests that are real freaking people.
Right.
Like, these bullshitters that are like, oh my
holier
goodness,
than
I don't
thou.
Do anything ever in life. No, fuck off. You know yeah. you do shit. Everybody does. Like, everybody does.
That's right.
You know, it's just the ones that, you know, can admit it. And I think that's why you respect those people. I did love, this wasn't my top three, but I love the fact when Blake was saying, like, forgiveness is what has made him sick. You know, people doing all these vile, despicable acts, but yet we're always like, oh, we should forgive them. Let's coddle them and shit. No, we should not coddle their ass.
I'm sorry. If you're a preacher, you got to turn the other cheek.
I agree that, yeah, you've got to do that. But some people do some really crappy stuff in life, and they should not be forgiven. And then my last top three one is the revelation that Mike Tyson someone doesn't save everybody.
Because thank God. Thank God. Because that was going to be really, that was getting a little old, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that was the problem with some of this episode too, is because it kind of went back to that. But I think it was a good thing. You know, I think that if we would have kept seeing that over and over again, it's like, oh, I got to beat the hell out of them.
Why not just go straight to the SmackDown then? As soon as you walk in, you just walk in and you just and then bleed into their mouth.
So, yeah, or just go to the blood bank and donate blood and take it with you or something. Like, right? I mean, I don't get, you know, he's like, all right, I got to beat this dude's ass until my hands start bleeding everywhere to get the blood on him. Right. I think I would just have some spare blood bags just hanging around. I'm like, bitch,
yeah.
Just throw it in their face.
Yeah.
But I did like that. You can definitely tell that Blake, there's something more to the demon inside of him than there was for Joshua. So I'm really excited about that. And overall, I guess I'll give my score real quickly since I'm getting into it anyway. I'm going to give it 3.5 bacons out of 5. It wasn't the worst episode, obviously. Like, there was still a lot of fun stuff. You know, like I said, the Mark stuff is interesting. That's something totally new, so I don't know what the hell's going on there. The fact that Megan in this episode, they showed, you know, a little bit more of the backstory of why she has an issue with this one individual. And I like that they gave her a little bit more than they did in the comic books. But then, yeah, there was just some issues with some of the ways they took the source material for me that just didn't translate as well as I wanted to.
Okay. I think we might be related. I don't know if you can see my score. It says 3.5 bacons. So
there we are related.
Yes.
The best mother and son outcast duo. In the world, because there
exactly.
aren't any.
And we're it.
Yeah, this is all you got, people. This is it. Okay, well, we want to know your thoughts on Outcast Season 1, Episode 3. Put all your comments in the comment box down below or email them to us, rantpocalypse@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. We would love for you to do that. It's at rantpocalypse, and it's RANTPOC, or you just look on the screen right there.
Do that.
Yeah, just do that. Do yeah. that. Yeah, don't try to make me spell, damn it. All right, we're going to be back with our discussion on Season 1, Episode 4. And hit that subscribe button on YouTube for more of our content. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey. Said I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. And if I share with